Happy Sabbath, everyone. I want you to know that we have stepped into a sensitive place where we have to make a decision. If we're going to hear God, then if we're going to follow God. My brother said something earlier during Sabbath school. He said that he has come to understand that God is a real God. And that struck me because the last time I was here, my son, my youngest son, who had a stroke, then had a heart transplant. And during that time, I had, you can still play, sir. You're helping me. You're helping me. During that time, I had to call on him. Because it was life and death. And I found out more profoundly than I had ever before that God is real. And so when I found out that he was real, I also found out that his word is real. So from Genesis to Revelation, I had to go and understand that what it says, he means. My coming to his house of worship is different. And I appreciate you, young lady. I was here when you were practicing, and before you closed out, you said something that touched me deeply. You said, God, don't allow the spirits of darkness and evil to prevail in this place. Because I want you to know there is a war going on right now. I went back, I had retired. I went back to working as a hospice chaplain. This week, I had two beautiful ladies to close their eyes in death. In the last month, I probably had 15, 16 people to die. The one that passed away Thursday, I have visited with her for months. On Monday, because I want you to hear how quickly, on Monday, I went in, we had a conversation and she was laughing and talking and we were just enjoying our visit. Tuesday, decline started. Wednesday, it got where she couldn't talk. Oxygen. Thursday, I went in. And I put my hand on her head and she had started modeling. And what modeling is where your body is starting to shut down, your breathing changes and all those things. And here's what I did, because we had had conversations before and I knew that she loved God. I put my hand on her head and I began to rub her head and I started to sing this song. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells. Let's pray, Father God. Simply want to be a vessel, God. I pray that as this young lady prayed, God, that the enemy would leave this building. That every heart will be open to hear your words. To make a decision that they will follow you all the way. Help us in this moment to know that you love us, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I had a friend who had noticed we were going to church often, and I noticed that he at times would lead the song service, and he would pick up the song book. And where he used to hold it here, he now held it up here. And we all had song books, and he would be singing with the microphone, and sometimes he would miss a couple words, and I'm like, man, this guy can't see. And so I got with him and I said, I want to take you to the eye clinic, so that they can check your eyes. And he was reluctant at first. And no, I'm not going. But I insisted. I persisted until he said, okay, I'll go with you. And so we got in the car and I took him to the eye place. And walking in, he's walking slow. You know, when you don't want to go somewhere, you walk real slow. So he was walking slowly. And we got in and they called his name for the appointment, and both of us walked in, and the lady said, well, we're going to give you an exam, and in this exam, you're going to see about 40 dots of light, and you take this mechanism, and when you see the light, press on it. He said, I can do that. So he sat down and they put the mechanism in his hand, and he's looking in at the screen with his head up, like when you go to the driver's license place. And all of a sudden I saw him. I'm sitting in the back. And he's pressing. And then when the test is over, he sits back in the chair, turn around, looked at me with a look of confidence. Yeah, I got this. And when the lady came out, he said, was it 40 out of 40? She said, well, sir, I'm sorry to say you only got about 15. And he said, what? 15? He said, let me look again, because he did not want to accept what the evidence stated. The title of this message is Look Again. Look Again. In many court cases, it has been noted that a significant percentage of eyewitness testimony is not reliable. And it's stated that this is primarily due to memory distortions, memory biases, and other factors that can reduce accuracy. For the one who is trying to live a God-fearing life, the perceived truth can be distorted by sin and the influence of the world. And the devil has his part in it also. We today have many thousands of podcasters and influencers who give their opinion on everything. They tell you what is right. They tell you what is wrong. They give their opinion. We have preachers, teachers who are doing podcasts and want you to follow as they see it. But when it comes to heaven or hell, whether you will be eternally saved or eternally lost, we may need to look again at what God is saying about what it takes to be saved. That is why we need to take this message seriously at heart, because we have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You may not believe it, but we are living in the final stages of Earth's history. If you go look at the Bible, everything that the Bible says that will happen before Jesus comes has already happened. It's crucial for us to have a spiritual checkup about where we stand as disciples of God and as Christians. The Bible tells us, Jesus says, what does it profit you to gain the whole world but lose your soul? He tells us that there will be those who will say to him, Lord, Lord, have we not come to message of hope every Sabbath? Did we not sing on the praise team? Did we not teach Sabbath school? And he will proclaim, I never knew you. We need to look again. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. The King James Version says this. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems right. It looks right. But it leads to damnation. Here's what the Message Bible interprets it as. It says, there's a way of life that looks harmless enough. Look again. It leads straight to hell. Look again. Take a second look to make sure that you are in right standing with God. I've heard some of the old preachers like E.E. Cleveland say that there have been people, church folk, who brag, yeah, I've been in the church a long time. I've been in the way a long time, over 40, 50 years. And then the preacher said, yeah, exactly. That's what's been going on. You've been in the way because of your perspective. You need to look again. But the idea is that we must make sure our relationship with God is intact. And I hear it all the time. Even we talk about and we know that we have to study the Word of God. We know that. But the Bible says this, that there are those who will study the word He said, thinking that they have found eternal life. But the word testifies of Jesus. It takes Jesus to get to heaven. I often have wondered, how in the world did the thief on the cross, who didn't go to church, didn't read the Sabbath school lesson, didn't pay tithe and offering, or wait a minute, my wife would say this, didn't return, because you don't pay God nothing. That's what she tells me all the time. Didn't return tithe and offering. How is he going to be walking on the streets of gold? And the answer is because Jesus. Who did I say, everybody? Come on, talk to me. Who did I say? Jesus said to him, you will be with me. So, okay, you telling me that Jesus, the one who came and died, Jesus, the one who became the bridge over troubled waters, Jesus, the one whose blood washes us, can't say that we will be in the kingdom? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. We have to make sure that we have a relationship with Jesus. Any of us, all of us, can look back over our lives and we can see all of the dastardly things that we have done. And the only reason that we're still breathing is because of Jesus. Paul makes this statement, Romans chapter 6, verse 20. And this is from the Message Bible, Romans chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. Here's what it says. As long as you did what you felt like doing, ignoring God, you didn't have to bother with right thinking or right living or right anything for that matter. But do you call that a free life? What did you get out of it? Nothing you're proud of now. Where did it get you? A dead end. Paul, in this statement, encourages us to take a second look, to look again over our lives, where we are, what we're doing. Because I'm telling you, the worst enemy that you have is yourself. And when you're looking and self is talking, you better look again. You better take a second look. You better go to the word of God. You better get on your knees. And I heard a brother in Sabbath school said, it's the Holy Spirit. There he is, Brother Kevin, right there. Said the Holy Spirit is the one that we should call on, that we should ask. And he will give us the right perspective. He will give us the right glasses to put on to see where we're going, what we're doing, and what we need to do. Paul says, take a second look. If we are willing to look again, here's what God has gifted us with. And all of us sitting here, we have been gifted with this. If we're willing to take a second look, to look again over our lives, over what it is that God would have us to do. The first gift, that God has gifted us with is time. Romans 13, Verses 11 through 14 says this. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. You know that chambering and wantonness? That's talking about sexual behavior. It's talking about devious sexual acts, not in riotous living or drunkenness. And there are people who are drunk off of power. There are people who are drunk off of positions. What kind of car they got, how much money they got in the bank, they're drunk. And God has given us time. He's telling us the times in which we're living. And verse 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We have to count the time in which we're living. Oh, I go back and remember how my boy Noah preached for 120 years and folk was sitting there laughing, listening, making jokes about what he was talking about for 120 years. But I tell you what, 120 years and one day, guess what happened? So you've heard preaching about us living in the last days, about Jesus is coming soon. Here's what I know. He's coming because we serve a real God. He's coming. And he's coming for those who have said, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus and riches untold. We have to take a second look. You got to look again to see where your life is. And God has given us time. Then he says in John chapter 2, verse 15 through 18, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. All of these individuals that I interact with who are in the hospice program, they know that their time is coming to an end. But all of us who are still living, who have not had a diagnosis put on us about the fact that we only got 6 months or 5 months, we need to know that we have a timeline on our lives. This is serious. And without God's mercy and grace, it could be today that we close our eyes in death. And however our relationship is with the Lord is, it will then be eternal. Secondly, God has gifted us with enlightenment. He's gifted us with time. He's gifted us with enlightenment. Psalms chapter 25, verse 4 and 5 says this. Show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And that should be our prayer. God, enlighten me, teach me, show me what you would have me to do, that I may be a vessel to be used by you. It's not about me, God. It's about you and it's about your people. Then John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14 says this, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. We have the Holy Spirit that is willing to guide us into all truth. We don't have to guess. All we have to do is ask. And he will guide us. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Anything you want to know, God will show you. I had a Bible worker one time, and we were talking about God's leading. We were talking about the Holy Spirit guiding and being our guide. And she said, Pastor, you want to know something? She said, before I go to the grocery store, I pray and I ask God, which grocery store should I go to? I kind of chuckled when she told me that. I said, really? You pray for the Spirit to lead you whether to go to Winn-Dixie or Publix or Aldi's? She said, yes, sir. She said, because he knows how much money I got. He knows what I need. Y'all don't hear me talking, have mercy. He knows what I need. He knows everything that I need to put in the house for my family to eat. So I go to God and I ask him, what store should I go to? And she said, here's how good he is. I even come back with some money in my pocket. Y'all don't hear me. It's time to look again at our relationship with God. Time to look again to make sure. You know, brothers and sisters, you know how we do when you like somebody and you're getting ready to go on a date and you want to make sure your outfit is right. You want to make sure your hair is right. You got your eyebrows done, ladies, and all that stuff. And so you go in the mirror and you stay there for a while. And then you say, okay, look pretty good. Then you get ready to go out of the bathroom and then you, wait a minute. Let me go back because I might have missed something. And you take another look. See, here's what my wife does. She stay in the mirror 30 minutes, then get in the car poured the mirror and the visor down. But I guess now I can't be mad because you got to look again. Come on now. You gotta take a second look, and spiritually we gotta look again. We gotta look all the time. Everywhere we go, we gotta take a second look. If you're going by downtown and you buy a store, step up and just take a look, make sure things are proper in place. What I'm saying to you, that we are in a time when influence is so deadly. We don't even know that it is changing us. Changing our perspective of what we think and what we do. That's why you hear some old folk. When I talk to my aunt, my last aunt, I talk to her every Sabbath morning. And there are times when she said, you know what? Church ain't like it used to be. And I can't say anything because it's not. She would tell me, yeah, they're doing this or they're not doing that. What can I say? Nothing. Because influence at times changes us. There's a book that I read years ago, and I'm on my last point. There's a book I read years ago. It's by Joe Cruz. It's called Creeping Compromise. If you want to know the truth, go look up that book. You can read it online, so you don't really have to purchase it. Go look up that book. And Joe Cruz, about 40-something years ago, talked about how perspectives will change, how standards will change. They will creep in to your heart, to your mind. It's called Creeping Compromise. Finally, God has gifted us with a promise. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10 says this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. God has promised you that if you're willing to connect heart to heart with him, he'll keep you from fainting. He'll keep you from being overwhelmed. He will come and he will strengthen you in the times of your weakness. That's why we need to take a second look. We need to look again. God, hold, I'm missing something. Something is not working right. It seems on every hand. I got issues. I got problems. It seems my family is going crazy. God says, take a second look at my word. Take a second look at me and know that I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll lift you up. Psalms 121, and I quote it to some of my patients where it says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. That's what we need. God has given us all kinds of promises, all kinds of statements in his word that can hold us and keep us. And my final text, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 15 and 16, says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." I pray that all of you who are under the sound of my voice, watching over the internet, those who are in the house, that you will say, "God, help me to look again first at me. And I know I may not like what I see, but you said you'll help me, God. You said you'll wash me. You said you will make me over anew. I know I gotta be born again of the water and of the spirit. So help me, God." All of us have family members that we know that they are not living according to the word of God, that they don't have the relationship that they should have with God, that the world has a hold on them. But I promise you this, if you ask God to help you to be who he would have you to be, your prayers for them will be heard and honored. You see, in the story of the prodigal son, he kept going to the gate because he prayed, "God, bring my son home." Scholars say that it was over 20 years before his son came to himself. But finally, he did. And he came home. You see, the thing that I love about God is that he never gives up. I told you about my youngest son having a stroke and ultimately having a heart transplant. As we talk on the phone now, before he was all ambitious, was gone, he was doing some modeling, he was doing real estate, he was a baller, shot caller, as he felt. But as we talk now, his conversation is, "I've been praying. I've been asking God, what does he want me to do? And when I hear these words coming from his mouth, I said, thank you, God, for letting him look again and see truly where he was and where he is now. You see, my messages have changed. I'm not about playing. It's about getting real with God. Because if I told you my story, you'd be like, what? Yeah. But he gave me opportunity. I told one of my patients the other day, I said, I know him to be a real guy because I had to get real with him. When they told me that I had had a heart attack, when they told me that they had to do quadruple bypass, cut my chest open, that night before I was going to have surgery, I said, okay, God, I know it's possible for me not to wake up. I'm not concerned about that. What my desire is now is to hear the first trumpet sound. To hear your voice say to me, well done. I had to look again. Been a preacher a long time, but I had to look again because all of the pomp and circumstances and all of that means nothing when you're standing at the face of eternal life or eternal death. And if you know what life is all about, what John says it's all about, streets of gold, a table that God has prepared for all of his children, mansions. And John said there was no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more death, but you will live forever. You got to look again and you got to make that decision. If you're going to serve God or not. I'm done. I'm done. I just want to make this appeal. And I'm hoping. Let's pray. Father God, right now. There were those who are in the valley of decision right now, God. Snatch them out. Help them to look even now at themselves and what they see, God. Let it be truly who they are. And if there needs to be a change, let it be done right now in Jesus' name. Here's my appeal. If you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you could say, it's me standing in the need of prayer, I want you to stand to your feet and say, God, help me to look again. Help me to accept the time that you've given me to come to know you in real relationship. Help me to be enlightened. Show me what you would have me to do. Help me to embrace the promise. I can tell you with no uncertainty that as you're standing for God right now, He'll stand for you. And as my brother said, every morning, if you get up and before you do anything else, you say, God, all to Jesus, I surrender. All to you, I freely give. I will ever love and trust you. In your presence, God, I'll daily live. Father God, thank you for your children who are standing. Help them to know, God, that you're a real God and your word is real. Salvation is real and it's theirs just for the asking and through their relationship building with you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.